I'm Brian Penny of Brewster, Massachusetts. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, May the 30th. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Jill and a third guest invitee to the radio program today. Yes. All the way from Oklahoma, we have Peter Laws with us. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you, Sheldon? How are you, Jill?
Pretty good.
We're doing well. We're going to get a lot of information from Peter about probably a place we don't hear a lot about out in Oklahoma. And Peter's involved in a number of radio activities out there. Also a member of CIDX. And we'll talk to him about some of the radio happenings out in his neck of the woods. We thank you for joining us here today. And as always, you can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived on the CKUT website, ckut.ca, here in Montreal. And our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome one new member this week. His name is Bill. Thanks for joining us there. And if you missed the show live and would like to go back and listen to it, you can do so on our YouTube channel. Look for International Radio Report on YouTube. Each show is posted up there, usually within an hour or so after the show airs on Sunday on CKUT. So that is how to find us out there. Several ways to do that. We always like hearing from our listeners. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us there. We have a number of stories for you today, and then, as I said, later on we'll get to Peter and talk about things in the radio scene in Oklahoma. First off, I want to mention two things on that came up in the last couple days. Here in Montreal, longtime announcer Terry DeMonte, we mentioned this story, I think, last week on the show, left Chaume FM, our rock music station in Montreal. His last show was on Friday morning, after 30 plus years at the radio station. And some are calling it a retirement. There's a lot of background stuff going on as to his contract not being renewed by Bell Media. He was working on an 8-year long contract, which is something basically unheard of in radio. But that came to an end. They did not renegotiate, did not re-sign him. So he's going underground, he said, for about 3 months. And ironically, I don't think he's gone for good, because within the last broadcast, it was announced his personal website designed by his brother went live during Friday morning's show. And it's terrydemonte.com. And believe it or not, right on there, he's talking about podcasts already. So come September, I think we're going to be seeing more about Terry DeMonte. He's 64 years old. He says, I'm not dead. I'm not retired. You'll be hearing from me, but not for the next 3 months. He's going to be sort of out of touch. He's getting off of social media. He won't be on the radio anywhere. He will just be getting some sleep, as he put it, after having been a morning man for so many years and getting up at like 3:45 in the morning. So anyways, there's lots of information about his last show. There's clips of it on the Chaume website. Montreal Gazette has some clips. And it was quite an interesting show to listen to. I'm not a DeMonte fan, but I found it kind of nice to listen to. Personality-driven radio, another one bites the dust as Bell, you know, I don't know who's going to replace him at this point, but it was nice to hear the outpouring of emotions from listeners and how much he meant to them, how much radio still means to all of those listeners here in Montreal, and also listeners that have been following him online from all other parts of the world as well. So it was really quite nice to hear that about, you know, so many people hooked on something on the radio. And also a story that broke on Friday, the passing of a longtime, well-renowned DJ, Tom Shannon, who spent a good part of his radio career at the Big 8 CKLW in Windsor, Ontario, across the river from Detroit. We posted up a story about that on our Facebook page if you want to read about Tom Shannon, another big name personality gone from the radio scene now. So check those stories out on our Facebook page. So let's get to this week's news from the world of radio. We start with a a report on radio trends, and this comes from a Nielsen audio rating service. The headline via Radio World is Nielsen highlights encouraging radio trends. Nielsen Audio issued data this week indicating that U.S. weekly radio listening is at its highest levels since the pandemic began, though not yet to pre-COVID-19 levels. The April 2021 PPM survey revealed new gains in radio listening across the aggregate of markets for the second month in a row, it said in a press release. As America continues to reopen, consumers are returning to radio in numbers not seen in over half a year. Radio's weekly reach is now at its highest levels, 121 million weekly consumers, since March 2020, when COVID-19's impact began to take hold. Since the beginning of 2021, radio has added more than 5 million new weekly listeners. The company issued a graphic that shows the monthly trends, including a rise last summer and fall, followed by a decline around the holidays and surges, as well as a recent rebound. It also said U.S. radio's average quarter-hour audience in April was back to where it was in November, though, again, not yet back to pre-COVID levels. The AQH audience levels had jumped 10% in the past 2 months as vaccinations and a gradual return to pre-pandemic routines had proliferated. Nielsen said that from a weekly reach perspective, the radio audience in April is 14% larger than the same month from a year ago, while the average quarterly hour, the audience is 31% larger. The April listening gains were spread across times of day. The research company also issued some observations about trends in formats. It noted that urban adult contemporary and R&B format recorded its highest share of listening in several years in April. It attributed this to the national interest in the social justice movement, including a verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin. It said April gains may have been driven by what was happening between the songs as much as the music cycle itself during such a milestone moment. Some other formats are showing expected seasonal changes. Country radio is reporting higher shares of audience heading into the summer, following its usual seasonal pattern. Classic hits is also gaining ground, another annual occurrence. Meanwhile, the return of Major League Baseball, along with other live sports, is boosting the all-sports format near its fall football season levels. So people may have gone away for a little bit, but they're back. So that's encouraging, I'm sure, for radio station owners, programmers, and for listeners at large, I guess.
I mean, so much of our listening has to do with commute. A lot of people listen to radio in their cars. And also the fact that there's radio in the workplace. And, of course, you know, for the sports station, we could say that the last year was a no-sports radio station. So that is coming back with all the teams and, you know, hockey, baseball, and all of that coming back. Quite a few out there that work from home, but slowly people are going to go back to the office. And all of that listening is going to come back to normal at some point.
I think so. Yeah. Summer is a quiet period in radio, yeah. Certainly in ratings. But, you know, people are outside, they have the radio on, driving somewhere, you know, what have you. So always interesting to see the numbers and the surveys that are done on the radio audience.
Absolutely.
A story that's got me puzzled because I guess I'm an old dinosaur here. Gilles, I'm giving this one to you because maybe it means something more to you than it does to me.
Yes, TikTok. So here comes TikTok Radio. This is via Radio Inc. TikTok, think about it as being the a little bit like the new YouTube, where there's people creating content, short videos, and that are becoming stars on that platform. It's somewhat of competition, if you want. It's different from YouTube because you're not going to make, you know, two-hour live shows on TikTok. You're going to, in general, have content and make short videos or short content or pictures. Year after year, radio executives hear how this new media or that new technology is going to replace the industry they love. Yet here comes one of those shiny new toys wanting to be just like them. TikTok, SiriusXM, and Pandora have announced they are joining forces to launch TikTok Radio this summer. It will feature exclusive performances, special events, and emerging talent. TikTok Radio will be presented by TikTok creators and DJs. The joint press release says that TikTok channel will feel like a radio version of the platform's For You page. The TikTok creators will showcase trend music and stories behind the songs throughout the day, as well as weekly music countdown dedicated to TikTok's top trending tracks. We are excited to collaborate with TikTok to create new content that brings the vibrancy of the leading social networking service to life on live radio and our streaming platforms, says Scott Greenstein, President and Chief Content Officer of SiriusXM. The effect TikTok has on music and pop culture in general is undeniable. Our platforms will provide a unique opportunity for TikTok creators to engage with our listeners with content experiences that have never been done before in audio. The exclusive SiriusXM channel will bring a new take on radio by tapping into the latest music trends on TikTok, while Pandora listeners will get access to playlists curated personally by TikTok's top creators. TikTok is redefining the way that fans discover music and artists while enabling a new form of musical engagement and creative expression, says Ole Oberman, Global Head of Music TikTok. We are excited to work with SiriusXM on TikTok Radio and to bring TikTok creators to Pandora to make the trends, music, and creative influences that are playing such a defining role in modern culture even more accessible. And this is interesting because TikTok's average age of creators is very young adults. And that will surely show here in the content and the type of content they're going to bring with the music. But it is interesting to see they're going to mix out this with TikTok with, you know, streaming platforms and SiriusXM radio.
Will there be, I wonder, will there be a video element to this radio station? Because TikTok is a video platform.
TikTok is a mix of all types of media. It can be a video experience, but there are some audio experiences on TikTok also. So I don't know exactly how they want to mix in the content here, but definitely it's something to look at because some of the big stars on TikTok are now almost as big as the biggest stars on YouTube.
Well, I'm out of touch. That proves it, because I'll have to go check this out, I guess. But anyways, not something that's sort of crossed my path at this point, but it's obviously something that's really popular. So
maybe it's time to do the official shortwave TikTok channel.
Oh, please. Don't we have enough already? It looks like our sun's been a little bit busy lately.
Actually, it's funny, because last week we talked about Sunspot AR2824. And I said, well, it's quiet and nothing special is going to happen with it. And on Sunday and through the beginning of the week, it started having tons of solar flares. Like it had 10 C flares and at least 3 or 4 M class flares, all in very rapid succession. Actually, it was the biggest number of flares in many years. It was pretty incredible. So we were wondering how that would affect the geomagnetic field. And this week, all the little CMEs, the coronal mass ejections that left the sun, actually did arrive on Earth, but they didn't create that much of an effect. We did go into a minor geomagnetic storm for a couple of hours, but in general, it wasn't that bad of conditions. But of course, when there's solar flares, a lot of people noted that there were some shortwave fade-outs. They were listening to shortwave, and suddenly stations just disappear, which is often what happens when a solar flare actually erupts on the sun. And there was a lot of noise also created by that. Actually, on spaceweather.com, they had a few recordings of intense crackling and noises created by that sunspot that were heard below 20 megahertz on the shortwave bands. But now everything is very quiet, although there are two sunspots that groups that can actually do some C-class solar flares. So we'll be looking at that. There's something also happening called the solar sector boundary crossing. So that is going to happen somewhere at the beginning of June 1st. And when the planet is crossing through the fold in the heliospheric current sheet, that crossing can actually trigger minor geomagnetic activity. So that's be something to look at. But you know what? Turn on that radio and listen. It's the best way to know what's out there.
This is Peter Laws in Norman, Oklahoma. On the air since 1987, you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio about radio, every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and live streaming around the globe at ckut.ca.
We go next to a story from Radio Inc., and this is about a new syndicated radio series that'll be popping up, and for all the rock and roll fans out there like me, I think you'll find this something you might want to track down, and maybe there's a radio station in your area that will be carrying it. It's called The History of Rock and Roll. It's an all-new two-hour weekly radio, History of Rock and Roll. It's a barter radio series that will be hosted by the great Wink Martindale, who some of you know from radio, some of you may know him from TV game shows. He's been around a long time. The first episodes will be available on June 5th and 6th. Among the affiliates on board for the show's debut is WMPS in Memphis, and that is, interestingly enough, where Wink Martindale got his start in radio. The all-new two-hour weekly series answers key music fan questions such as, what's that song? Who's the performer? How did they get that name? What inspired those words? Why does this music touch my heart, make me smile, make me cry, make me want to dance, romance, and fall in love? And whatever happened to the greatest songs I grew up with? Each episode is built around a theme such as leading ladies of the 80s, to the 60s greatest dance hits, singer-songwriters of the 70s, the best of folk rock, the magic of Motown, the top 25 hits of 1980, supergroups of the 60s, Inside Beatlemania, Good Time Gold, and the Super Summer Song Collection. Each episode includes artist interviews and revelations from host Wink Martindale. Among the affiliates on board, as we said, is WMPS, where he got his start so many moons ago. They don't have a list yet of what stations will be carrying this program. Right now, believe it or not, the only way to try to find out, or if maybe you're involved in radio and your station might be interested, is to get in touch directly with Wink Martindale. It's Wink HRR@gmail.com, or you can literally pick up the phone and call him, 203-847-3085. So maybe you can even talk to your local radio station, and if they're progressive and open-minded, maybe they'd look at picking up this new syndicated show. So it's going to be fun. I don't know if this is going to make it into Canada here at all anywhere.
That'd be nice.
But sounds like it'll be interesting, and maybe it'll be available online as well. So that's coming up starting the beginning of June. Some nice themes there for some of the episodes that they've got planned. So I mentioned at the top of the show that we have a guest with us today, and his name is Peter Laws, an ex-Montrealer, Montreal at heart, who moved away quite some time ago off to Oklahoma. So welcome, Peter.
Well, thank you. I moved away in steps. I left the West Island in 85 for Boston, and then we moved to Arkansas, and then Oklahoma, and then Illinois, and then back to Oklahoma, because a moving target is harder to hit, as I'm sure you're aware. So,
yeah, and all those posters from the FBI and all the post offices in all those locations.
Creepy. Yeah, not good at all.
But you've been in Oklahoma now for quite some time. I should mention you're a ham operator, you're a CIDX member, you're a columnist and a member of the Long Wave Club of America. So we'll talk about some of those unique things. And you do a lot of stuff in Oklahoma, some very unique stuff radio related as well. So, hey, give us your radio life story out in Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me start with the stuff that you're really interested in. I have been an amateur radio operator now for 30 years this year. I got into it when the U.S. dropped the Morse code for the entry-level license, and then in steps over the years, they've entirely eliminated it, as has Canada. I guess you can still take a Morse code test for more privileges in Canada.
That's right.
But I got into it because of that. I've played with radios since I was a little kid. I had the Eldon Crystal Radio Kit from the Eaton's catalog back in the day. So I've always been interested in radio. But when we moved to the south, they have severe weather down here. And I knew what storm spotting was, but I wanted to get more into it. And at that time, 30 years ago, a ham radio was the way that spotters communicated what they were seeing. And so I was attracted by that. And one thing led to another. And pretty soon I was pretty deeply into it. And I've been deeply into it for 30 years. Fast forward to more recently, I live in Norman, Oklahoma. In fact, the reason we moved here is because I got a job at the National Severe Storms Laboratory here in Norman, which is affiliated with the University of Oklahoma, which is who I actually work for now. And I've been a storm spotter all along. Our club is very active, the South Canadian Amateur Radio Society. And the reason it's called that is because there's a river that runs along the bottom of the county called the Canadian River. There is a North Canadian River. Sometimes people call this one the South Canadian River, although technically that's not its name. But the idea of calling it the Canadian Amateur Radio Society didn't really work. So South Canadian Amateur Radio Society. We were the Dayton Hamvention Club of the Year last year, even though there was no hamvention last year. So very active club, a couple of different repeaters. We started back in 2017. We started a net on our UHF repeater at noon every Saturday. And why do we do it at noon? Well, the cities that are members of the Emergency Management Association here in central Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, Norman is just south of Oklahoma City where the university is, all agreed to test their storm sirens on Saturday at noon. They, prior to that, the different days, different times, and they all agreed that, you know, let's just do it all Saturday noon. So they do it Saturday noon now. What we do is we organize a net. We have about 40 volunteers. We cover four of the towns. Two of them have very few storm sirens because they're fairly rural towns. But the cities of Norman and Moore, which are much more populous and have a lot of sirens, over 100 storm sirens between the two cities. And we have about 40 volunteers that cover their local siren. And after the test on Saturday, right at noontime, we go through a roll call and we check in with each of them and they report whether or not the siren sounded correctly. Some of these are the mechanical sirens that you actually rotate, so they check on that. A lot of the ones, particularly in the city of Norman, are all electronic. They're solid state. And they have telemetry that lets the emergency management folks know whether or not they're working correctly. But it turns out that that's not 100% accurate. There have been several occasions where the siren reports that everything is fine. And our observers say, well, no, it didn't actually sound. And that allows the cities to direct their repair efforts to where there's actual problems. So it's been very well received by the cool. by the cities that we serve. So, yeah, so that's been our main thing for the last couple of years. But we've got about 40 folks that go out and listen to their local siren. And it's been good.
It's a neat thing to see amateur radio being used for public service like that. So that's a great activity. Yeah. You're also, though, at heart, a DXer as well, a history of DXing like so many of us. You've recently got involved with a specialized club in the United States and, worldwide, actually.
Very specialized. I read an article about the Longwave Club of America in the Spectrum Monitor, which is an all-radio hobby magazine, not just ham, not just scanners, not just CB. They cover everything, much like CIDX's Messenger. And the president of the Longwave Club had an article in there, and he said, you know, if you want a sample of the newsletter, let me know. So I did, and he was looking for a column editor, and I said, well, I can do that because my column is basically submissions from members just telling us what they've heard. Now, when we say long wave, we mean basically all the stuff below the AM broadcast band. So pretty much everything under about 500 kilohertz on the radio dial. And there is still quite a bit of activity down there. Over in Europe, there is still broadcasting down in that that low frequency band, although those are going away almost as fast as AM stations. Primarily, it's non-directional aviation beacons, but those two are going away. And so in some senses, we're chronicling the demise of that non-directional beacon system. But there's other stuff down there as well. There are still marine text broadcasts, data broadcasts down there. There are experimenters down there that are trying to figure out how best to make use of that band space. Recently, there's two new amateur allocations down there, so licensed amateurs can transmit on part of the low frequency band. It's an interesting area to listen to. No commercials, all commercial free, but also no music either. So,
yeah, I've got a copy. I'll hold it up to the microphone. It's a copy of the Longwave Club bulletin called the Lowdown. If you want to get more information about the Longwave Club, www.lwca for Longwave Club of America. So that's lwca.org. And you can ask for a sample copy. Check it out. It's a pretty unique band. You need some quiet conditions, though. And
you do.
It is a noisy part of the spectrum.
It is.
But it's always interesting. It even goes all the way down to strange people that monitor earth sounds and all kinds of neat stuff like that.
That's one of the columns that I've been most interested in, because I knew nothing about what they call natural radio. And there are guys down there listening all kinds of weird stuff down like at 10 kilohertz. Now, there are communication systems down there, primarily military, but there are also all these interesting naturally occurring noises down there, and people are trying to quantify them, both for hobby reasons but also for scientific reasons. Yeah, very interesting swath of spectrum.
Longwave Club of America, look them up online, lwca.org.
Yeah, and they have print and electronic versions of the magazine.
Like most organizations these days, we're more interested in the PDF version, as CIDX is. And in fact, if you're into the radio hobby, there are lots of internet-based PDF newsletters available. CIDX is one, LWCA is another one, IRCA, another club I'm involved with, the Medium Wave DX Club also has an online thing.
Cool. Great. Well, it was great to have you with us. The time goes by so quickly here, just a half hour, but we'll have you back again sometime and talk some more about some of the other things. I'd like to get some feedback on the local radio scene out in your neck of the woods as well, so we'll do that on another show. Unfortunately, we're running really short on time today, but we have four ham radio contests coming up. Rather than go into all of the details, I'll just mention quickly what they are. We'll put the links up on our Facebook page, and you can go check them out. There is a 10-meter contest, 1010 International Open Season PSK contest. So that one is going to be a digital contest. That's coming up on the 5th and 6th of June. Also on the 5th of June, from the Wireless Institute of Australia, the VK Shires contest. And shires are basically counties in Australia. So you can try to work on the HF bands, both CW and SSB, to try to contact as many of the counties in Australia as possible. We have the QRP Sprint, called the Wake Up Sprint, sponsored by the Russian QRP Club. That's on June the 5th coming up, 40 and 20 meters, QRP only and CW only. And finally, sponsored by the Debrecen University Radio Club in Hungary, the TISA Cup CW contest on the 5th and 6th of June. It is 160 through 10 meters CW only. So we'll put up all the details for you with the links to those contests for you on the upcoming weekend. There should be a lot of fun as well. That's going to do it for us today. We do thank Peter for joining us today. We'll have the show available for you shortly on YouTube. So check us out on YouTube, International Radio Report, if you want to check out the show again, or on the CKUT archives at ckut.ca. Tune us in again next week for our next edition of the International Radio Report here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh.
You are listening to see, I can see it. CKUT in Montreal.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to today's Free Kick Radio Show right here on CKUT 90.3 FM on this May 30th edition of the Free Kick Radio Show. We'll be hearing from our good friend Dave McCauley in the first hour, full of 58 minutes of music. And in the second hour, we'll be hearing from Malcolm Fraser with another 58 minutes of music. So keep it locked. Lots of great sounds coming up on today's Free Kick Radio Show.